welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Thursday, September 1st, 2022. The public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba says the South Sudan government troops should have access to food, medicine, and salaries.
As the Troika, we welcome this initial step in the graduation of forces. This is a development that has been long promised and even longer awaited by the South Sudanese and South Sudan's friends.
And one protester is killed in Sudan.
These are informal bodies. They are not the official sources of information. We have the Federal Minister of Health. They can issue a statement of this kind.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Troika countries of the United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway are welcoming the graduation of South Sudan's unified forces. The public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba says all forces throughout the country should have access to food, medicine, adding that their salaries should also be paid on time. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Reading a statement on behalf of U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan, Michael Adler, Maulik Berkana, a public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba, said the security forces are a cornerstone of state and human security, but their effectiveness depends on fulfilling their mission accountability within a framework of civilian control and respect for the rule of law and human rights.
As the Troika, we welcome this initial step in the graduation of forces. This is a development that has been long promised and even longer awaited by the South Sudanese and South Sudan's friends. It is an absolutely critical step, but it is the start of a process.
Berkana says it is important to ensure that all forces have access to food, medicine, and are paid their salaries on time so they can perform their duties within confidence while taking care of their families.
With security and stability, South Sudan will be able to unlock its potential and advance the road to development. It is critical that ordinary South Sudanese can have trust in their security forces. Trust that the security forces protect the rights of all South Sudanese, no matter where in the country they come from, no matter their religious or political beliefs, and no matter whom they call kin. Trust that security forces are committed to bringing an immediate end to sexual and gender-based violence, including actions committed by those within their ranks.
Ambassador Atlas says it is also important to remember the other steps in the revitalized peace agreement. We need similar progress and require similar commitments so that South Sudanese citizens have the future they deserve of peace, democracy, human rights, justice, and prosperity.
We are speaking here of the future that the South Sudanese people deserve and hoped for at the time of their independence. It is long overdue. We look to South Sudan's leaders to capitalize on this renewed momentum to progress these steps. We hope the early steps that have begun to be taken today will unlock further progress in the implementation of the peace agreement.
Under the 2018 peace deal, the South Sudan government was to train and graduate 83,000 personnel to take charge of security during the ongoing transitional period. Tuesday, graduation finally took place after several delays, which the government attributed to financial constraints and a lack of firearms for the unified forces, citing the arms embargo imposed on the country by the United Nations Security Council. Some of the forces graduated without firearms. Earlier this month, the SPLM in government, led by President Salva Kiir and other signatories to the peace deal, including his deputy, SPLM IO leader Riek Machar, agreed to a new roadmap, which extends the transitional government by another 2 years. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
The European Union has called on the South Sudan government to work towards overcoming challenges facing the country following the graduation of the unified forces. The EU ambassador to South Sudan says unless the government fulfills its obligations, including paying forces and necessary logistics, the newly unified force will not be expected to perform their duties. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The EU ambassador to South Sudan, Christian Beder, has welcomed the graduation of the first batch of the necessary unified forces, saying it underscores a new era in the implementation of the 2018 peace deal. He says it also highlights an expression of political will and commitment by the parties to the peace deal. Beder says the move marks a step forward in implementing the security arrangements, which he says was delayed by both internal and external challenges. But Beder says the graduation will make no difference if the government does not live up to its obligation of ensuring provisions required to maintain the forces.
If we want the unified forces that have been graduated today to perform their duties, further challenges will have to be overcome. Providing all over the country the requested logistics, mobilizing the necessary financial resources, bringing and keeping the unified forces together, taking proper care of the veterans, and also taking proper care of the young people who will not be able to join these unified forces, making sure that intense training activities are carried out, and providing the different elements of the unified forces with clearly defined and sustainable missions.
The EU ambassador says following this week's graduation, the unity government now needs to do more to take care of the unified forces, noting that a lot of work is required if the forces are to perform the much-needed duties expected of them, ensuring peace and stability across the country. Beder says stepping up implementation of the security arrangements is in line with what South Sudanese have yearned for during the long years of struggle. He says it's time the unity government fulfills its commitment to realize the dreams of the citizens who are hoping for justice, political stability, and economic development.
It's our common wish today that this graduation and the whole and long-awaited process of unification of South Sudanese armed forces will add a crucial building block to the edifice and will now be able to significantly contribute to firmly maintain law, order and peace everywhere in South Sudan.
Beder calls the graduation a major step on the bumpy road to peace in the country. The graduation of the forces is long overdue. According to the timeline of the peace deal, 83,000 unified forces were supposed to have graduated 7 months from the time the implementation of the peace deal started in 2019. That did not happen. Beder says implementation of the security arrangements should pave the way toward holding elections due to take place in late 2024.
The main condition for this process to fully unfold is to create the legal and political conditions for a very much needed stability and step by step, by respecting the rights of every South Sudanese, men and women, civilians and military, refugees and internally displaced, the environment which will enable, in full compliance with the roadmap, free, fair, peaceful, credible and sustainable elections.
Other policy analysts echo Beder's calls, saying unless the government oversees the welfare of the forces, the recent graduation would amount to nothing more than a sham event. On Tuesday, 21,973 unified forces composed of former rebels graduated in the capital, Juba. However, a majority of the forces have yet to graduate in Upper Nile and Northern Bir el-Ghazal regions, which brings the total number of forces to 52,102. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Authorities in Ethiopia's Tigray region have reported a fresh airstrike in the capital Mekele. They say hit near a hospital and a center for displaced people. Meanwhile, Ethiopia's federal government said in a statement that the fighting has spread to the west of Tigray near the border with Sudan. For VOA News, Henry Wilkins reports from Addis Ababa.
Kiprom Gebreselassie, the chief clinical director of Mekele's Ada Referral Hospital, said on Twitter that there was a drone attack close to midnight Wednesday near Mekele General Hospital. He said casualties were arriving at Ada Hospital without giving details. Meanwhile, Getachew Reda, a spokesman for the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, said on Twitter that at least three bombs were dropped on Mekele, with Mekele Hospital being among the targets. He said there were no conceivable military targets in the area where the attack took place. Due to a telecommunications blackout in Tigray, it was impossible for VOA to confirm the accounts or learn the extent of the casualties. On Wednesday morning, the Ethiopian government issued a statement saying the TPLF had invaded the Amhara region near the border with neighbouring Sudan. Reda denied the allegation, saying the government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is making up stories. A five-month ceasefire in Ethiopia's civil war came to an end last week, dashing hopes for peace talks. Each side has blamed the other for the renewed fighting. Meanwhile, Sudan's government has summoned Ethiopia's ambassador to Khartoum over an assertion he made that the Ethiopian military shot down a plane carrying weapons from Sudanese airspace. Sudan says the allegation was unfounded. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Hawassa, Ethiopia.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, one protester is killed in Sudan. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there such a thing as unconditional love?
The reason why I say it's there, because I've seen my parents and I've seen there is unconditional love in their relationship. Basing on the way like my dad treats my mom, the love is unconditional.
No, I don't think that. It's very difficult to predict human beings. So human beings are just unpredictable. Anybody can change at any time. So that's why I believe there is no unconditional love.
I'm one of the people who believe in real love, and therefore I believe in unconditional love. It exists. It's there. It's been exercised among people, and we have the ability to give unconditional love, so it's there.
Honestly, I've not been there before, so I don't know much about it, but a lot of things that I've seen people are struggling to love each other.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors says a protester was killed Wednesday in Khartoum during the latest wave of anti-military demonstrations. The committee says the total number of people killed in protests since the October 25th military takeover has reached 117. The protester reportedly died after being hit by a tear gas and was run over by a car allegedly belonging to the Sudanese security forces. VOA could not independently verify the accounts of the incident. Police spokesperson Brigadier General Abdullah Bashir al-Badri refused to comment. General Badri told South Sudan in Focus he does not recognize the Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors as a credible source.
These are informal bodies. They are not the official sources of information. We have the Federal Minister of Health. They can issue a statement of this kind. I am talking about the official sources of information for the state. That's what we contend with. Any statements from bodies outside those official sources are meant for media consumption, and they have nothing to do with what is happening on the ground.
The Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors is a pro-democracy group that has been engaged in anti-military activities in Sudan. Sudan's military took power last year in a coup against civilian-led government of former Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. Military authorities have not appointed a government since then. Weekly anti-military protests have continued to demand a return to a civilian democratic government. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says food prices, which spiked this year because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, are beginning to drop. Russia and Ukraine are major producers of agricultural commodities such as wheat and sunflower oil, and traditionally feed large parts of Africa. But experts are warning that in Africa, it's too early to celebrate. Darren Taylor has more.
The UN agency measures monthly changes in global prices of five food commodities: cereals, dairy products, meat, sugar, and vegetable oils. It says there have been significant drops in costs of oil, wheat, and maize, mostly because of a deal which resulted in Russia finally allowing grain exports from Ukrainian ports. Economists say the price drops provide relief to people in wealthier nations, but aren't significant enough for poorer regions like Africa, where a lot of basic foods remain out of reach to millions.
Even before the war, food prices globally were somewhat on the upward trajectory. Drought in South America, high demand in China were among some of those factors that were driving prices up, and it seemed like those will continue to prevail.
Economist Wandile Sihlobo focuses on global food prices for South Africa's Agricultural Business Chamber.
Yes, we will see prices coming off from around about the intense war levels, but we're not going back to the pre-war levels in the near term. We have to consider also the lag between the agricultural prices and what people pay in the retail prices when we think about food prices coming down and the other costs baked onto that, like fuel and the others. So I would say food price inflation in general will remain elevated, even though we will see agricultural prices somewhat softening from levels we saw around about April, March or so.
Sihlobo says food prices across much of Africa continue to rise, in some regions by about 10% every month. Analyst at South Africa's Economic Justice Group, Mervin Abrams, says inflation like this is literally killing Africans. He says what's happening in South Africa mirrors the situation elsewhere on the continent. Abrams' group measures the monthly cost of about 40 food products needed by most households, such as bread and cooking oil.
That basket now stands at 4,775 rand and 59 cents. And now that is about a 12% increase on last year. It is a 534 rand and 47 cents increase year on year in rand terms. That is having a massive impact on households. The cost of this basket of food already outstrips the kind of wage that about 50% of working people in South Africa bring into the household.
Siklabo says high fertilizer prices and weakening values of many African currencies also mean food prices aren't dropping as much as is needed.
We could see the headline food price inflation, which is the rate at which prices are rising, softening somewhat for much of the second half of this year. But going into the retail stores looking for that decline on prices, you have to look into some time next year on seeing some bit of softening on some of those products, particularly vegetable oils, to an extent around about the grain-related prices, where we hope to see much more.
Good news, says Siklabo, is that the worst price hikes are over, and he hopes that more stability in global food markets will eventually result in food becoming cheaper across Africa. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A UN monitoring committee is urging Benin and Zimbabwe to address alleged discrimination against minority and marginalized groups in their countries. The committee released findings this week on progress in seven countries whose records were under review. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination expressed regret that Benin's National Plan of Action Against Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Intolerance has been only partially implemented since it was adopted in 2014. While discrimination and hate speech remain prevalent, mainly against albinos, the committee said few people have formally complained about the crimes. Committee member Pansy Tlakula surmised it might be due to lack of awareness of available judicial remedies, lack of confidence in the justice system, or fear of reprisals on the part of victims. She said people with albinism are most victimized by the discrimination that pervades the society.
In our interactive dialogue with Benin, the committee raised concerns about reports that people with albinism are often subjected to extreme physical attacks, stigmatization, and discrimination based on beliefs related to witchcraft and skin color.
The committee urged Benin to take effective measures to protect people with albinism from such vicious behavior and to ensure they have equal access to education, health, and employment. Regarding Zimbabwe, the committee said it was pleased with the positive measures taken by the government to implement the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. However, Tlakula said the committee was disturbed by reports that atrocities committed during the Gukurahundi violence of the 1980s continue to be a source of ethnic tension. Around 20,000 Ndebele-speaking people were killed in Matabeleland and Midlands provinces by government forces in the 1980s. Tlakula said many victims remain traumatized. She said the committee is concerned that they are barred by state agents from participating in mourning and commemorative activities.
It urged Zimbabwe to take measures to ensure that mourning and commemorative activities can be conducted without restrictions or threats. It also called on the state party to ensure that the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission fulfills its responsibilities to provide a platform for post-conflict public truth-telling.
The committee also criticized the widespread discrimination against people who work in the informal sector or as domestic laborers, noting most are black women who face low wages and work in dehumanizing conditions. The UN experts requested Zimbabwe amend its labor laws to end discrimination on the grounds of race, class, and gender. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. If you missed this broadcast, follow us on www.facebook.com www.voanews.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with a traditional Acholi song from Eastern Equatorial State. Listening to a traditional Acholi song from Eastern Equatorial State. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. Thanks for sparing time to be with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America.